and get ready to roll. Let's do this. It is all in your mind. Well, I guess Farouk is back to his old tricks. I guess not back to his old tricks. He's continuing on. But you know what? For a return for David, for a return for Shadow King, for a return of just the show in general, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at straight up the way, you know, old girl was led to David. The way she used her powers. This show continues to be just so visually unique. You know, like the way they're able to play just with like camera angles and a lot of like cool camera and set tricks. Like straight up, that musical number was so much fun to watch. And I really, like, I was just really impressed by like the symmetry and all that good stuff of how they pulled it off. And I was just sitting there in awe of, like, you know, kind of pulled out of the show, but in a good way of like, man, it must have been so much fun. You know what I'm saying? It must have been like so much fun to film this scene. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just seemed like everybody there was having a great time. Like, whether, you know, in or out of character. And man, wow, it was just so cool how it was laid out and how it was set up. Like, you know, she walked to one side, girl disappeared, got slid over, and it was just fun. And something that would seemingly be simple to do, but, you know, it ends up just coming off as so cool and so fitting for a show like Legion. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not mad at all at that scene. That scene kind of really won me over for this episode. In addition to that, the concept of time and, you know, her listening to the audio recording of the audiobook and the audiobook on time travel and you know, going back beyond points and, you know, not how to go there, and just how that was like visually stated and how she goes into her, like, I guess the back door room or whatever. I had a lot of fun watching this episode. Like, why didn't you tell me Legion was this fun to watch? Like, that's your fault. You should have told me. Like, it took Jessen King from YouTube to tell me this one. I had a lot of fun watching this episode. But the just like the cool, funny stuff is very similar. I put it in the same bucket with maybe like Doom Patrol. Because you have these very intense moments, but then you have these funny moments where they pull out the hook and pull the dude, and like the cup is still spinning. Like there's so much fun. There's so much fun in this show. And, you know, they were able to balance this episode out with very interesting cinematography and direction. Like the whole first, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of this episode is basically just music and just mood and tone and sounds. There's not a lot of, you know, dialogue, but the way it's directed, the way it's acted out with like physicality and facial expressions, and it's just cool. It's just really cool. And wow, big shout out to just the art direction of this show. Extremely impressive. So yeah, I love this episode. Really good, like really good opening for a third season. Can't wait to get into the back catalog of this show, but man, I was impressed. I also like, you know, the reference to like my father and everything and the astral plane, stuff like that, that I thought was cool. And the way they were able, like this show does a very good job. This show, and similar, like I said, with Doom Patrol, this show does a very good job of handling things without spending a lot of money. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's, and like Daredevil too, but not saying that these shows don't cost money, because they do, but there's a lot of stuff like that scene with the white room and the people dancing around the musical number. They could have did that another way, which it could have been like super expensive, but they went like completely practical, just moving around the curtains and the clothes and stuff and singing and dancing. And it just became something that was visually appealing, very, very catchy, and also fun to watch. Just like if someone like put that clip on YouTube, it would have like X amount of million views, because people just, it's just a fun thing to watch. So I really enjoyed that. And that was done without a whole bunch of, you know, without a whole bunch of like CGI and effects and all that stuff. It was just people moving around and singing. Now, I mean, I guess you got to get people to know how to sing and stuff like that. But yo, it was dope. I really enjoyed it. And then the action in this episode, I was like, oh snap. Because they, like I said, they do a good job of balancing. Like, okay, we're going to be kind of silly and kind of irreverent, but then all of a sudden be very intense. Like the scene with Shadow King and old girl, Switch. You know, seeing that scene, you were kind of like, all right, is he going to snatch her up right now? Like, how is this going to play? And, you know, seeing her going back, you know, and seeing, you know, David shot twice, like this is one of those things where it's like, this could be very, very bad for the squad. You know, seeing him die twice in the premiere, it's like, dang. But wow, I am impressed. The mustache. I love how they played that, like, beware the mustache. I love how they played that. The yellow bus, I thought it was intriguing. It was just a lot of fun watching this episode. A lot of fun. And like, I recommend it to a lot of people that love like just quirky, irreverent things that, you know, splash in some very suspenseful moments. I thought it was very, very cool. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking with action like that, you know, when they were walking through, people fighting, and homie was just dusting folks. Like just literally dusting folks. Like he was hitting them with the Dr. Manhattan out that joint. Like he was hitting them hard. People was just combusting in the blood and just fluids, which was cool, but it was just like, dang. Like, dude got his arm cut. Homegirl put the mind thing on him, cut his arm off, and he was still like, poof, poof, poof. Like, he was not playing. Like, the representation of his power in this is very just unique. And, man, I am a super fan. Super fan already. Wow, this show rocks. So your boy Mac fell for the old okey-doke. Man, poor Mac. Like, Mac has already lived in the shadow of Coulson, I think mentally. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think that the team thinks he's been doing a terrible job. But I think he's been putting undue pressure on himself. Now, with that said, I hope that he's able to get over this, if you will, kind of like move past this possibly. But it's, oh man, he just won't ready for anti-Coulson. You know what I'm saying? He, you know what I'm saying? Like, anti-coast and they had the tracker and stuff, and they figured, oh, all right, we're going to be good. And they ended up realizing that they kind of made the situation worse. And, you know, anti-coast had been talking that mess, like, oh, I'm going to be in charge, blah, blah, blah. And I was, like, wondering how he's going to play it and how he was going to get it to happen. And basically it was just his knowledge of the creatures and yours, which is something that I hope, you know, Matt doesn't get down over. Because straight up, just because he has knowledge of this particular thing doesn't mean that, you know, that you can't be the leader no more. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the way they played it, because technically, once we get rid of this threat, your value to us is kind of nil, because Mac knows everything else. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mac knows everything else besides, you know, what you're doing. You know, besides what you're doing with the strike. Or the shriek? Strike? I think it's strike. So, you know, I'm just hoping he don't get down. You know, I just hope he, you know, he doesn't go down too bad in his depression feelings or whatever. Because the dude definitely, you know what I'm saying, he's got what it takes to be a leader. But I don't think that Mac is done with the mental games with Anti-Coulson. I think Anti-Coulson won this round. I don't think Anti-Coulson won this fight. So we'll see how that plays. One thing that I think is cool about this episode, not this show is still kind of getting me, but one thing that I think about when I see this episode is still how far our relationships have come. And when I'm talking about relationships, I'm talking about, of course, like Enoch, Fitz, Simmons, definitely Quake. You know, Quake seeing, you know, just Anti-Coulson and being like, you know, nah, I can't do this, and just walking off. Like, seeing, you know, how far everyone's emotional state has come or gone, you know what I'm saying, really just helps illustrate where the team is. And I do like that. I do like the fact that we're still sharing these adventures. I'm not super hype about this adventure. I think this adventure is just, I'm just not feeling it, you know what I'm saying? But that doesn't mean that I'm not down with seeing our team kind of go through stuff, which is really cool. Seeing, Jocko breathing fire and old boy in there, I'm surprised he was still alive. Like, hey, surprise me. I was like, yo, they about to kill this dude. And he was all right. So I was like, yo, you thought it, I thought it. We was like, he did. And he came through. So I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at your boy. I'm not mad at your boy at all. But all in all, this episode ended up being one of those decent setup episodes. I think they're setting some stuff up. Of course, you got old girl that's getting ready to come back to Earth with Fitzsimmons. Enoch going off to help his own people. You got a episode that sets the stage for the mental gymnastics and the mental games, the war games between Mac and Anti-Coulson, and where their alliances are. We also don't know exactly what the doctor is going to come back with when he comes back. When he comes back from, forgot where he said he was going, but he was going to research something. So we got a pretty decent episode where we're putting our pieces in play for something that's probably going to be big or devastating, probably. So that's a cool thing. That's a real cool thing. And I'm psyched about that. But yeah, all in all, I'm not mad at this episode. You know, it was bittersweet on some moments, but I think we got kind of what we needed. I think what we're doing now is going to allow the team to kind of come back together, which is what we need. And then seeing, you know, Deke and Grandpa and everybody working together, which should be fun in itself, hopefully. I hope it plays off well, because they've been separated long enough, like way long enough. So yeah, that's pretty much how I'm feeling. A decent setup episode, not mad at it, and ready to see how this whole anti-Coulson thing plays out, because you know how I feel. They need to just go on and kill him. All right. So we got to see your girl Yo-Yo come through, which was satisfying. You know, it's been a while since we've seen her get into the action. You know, we saw her hit the punching bag a couple times with May, but it was nice to have her get in the action and even, like, you know, hit the dude, hit Jocko one time and be like, "Whoo, you're a big guy." You know what I'm saying? and then finally get him in the back in the pod. Now we kind of have everything on the table of, you know, who's who, what they're doing, sort of what they're doing and why they're doing, not all of why they're doing, but we got a good sense of why anti-Coulson is here. You know what I'm saying? He's put most of his cards on the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is happened once before to his world. You know, his wife and kid, I think, or kids, were taken from him. He ain't got nothing but hatred and revenge in his soul. The only thing is that he's willing to sacrifice who knows how many lives to get, I can't remember her name now, old girl back, for what she's done with the strike and everything. Boy, no matter how hard Fitz and Simmons try, they always in trouble. You know what I'm saying? They're always getting into something. And of course, in this case, they got a ride home. And I was like, oh, snap. Wow, that's a luck of the dice. You know what I'm saying? You know, luck of the draw, roll of the dice, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. And now you see that they're basically riding back with the, you know, the execution or extinction level event squad. She hasn't really, I mean, she sort of talked about her home world a little bit and sort of talked about the monoliths to a certain degree. I do like the fact that Simmons was like, hold up, Fitz, don't be putting all our cards on it. We don't know old girl like that. So I do like that. Like, they're trusting, but at least they're not super duper trusting, you know what I'm saying? I think they've learned a couple lessons to hopefully not be so trusting that they're just stupid, even though they do stupid stuff. But you know what I'm saying? They've learned a lesson on that one. You know, Simmons was like, let's not tell everything. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it. We don't know her like that. She just came up. You know what I'm saying? She just came through. She got to put in her time. It's nice to see how far and how fast and how crazy anti-Coulson is willing to go. But I do understand that, you know, we have more lives at stake. You know, they're like, oh, well, it's a 200-mile blast radius, and blah, there's a city. And he's like, but dude, I'm talking about the whole planet, fool. Like, you worried about a city, I'm talking about the rest of the planet. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not here to wager a whole city against the world. I'm not that type of person to be like, yo, we can just get rid of a whole city. But right now, you know what I'm saying, old girl is about to touch down. He's experienced this before, and he's probably the most knowledgeable, at least, of anybody in his crew, how fast this, you know, this crystallization thingy moves. You know what I'm saying? Look at how quick this little tower has been built. So you sort of gotta give it to him of like, yo, I know what's gonna happen. I know how this goes. So we don't really have no time. We gotta blow her up. And then hopefully she dead. You know what I'm saying? And then everybody be happy. I just don't see her dying that easily. Like, I think he thinks she'll die mad easy. You know what I'm saying? I think that he thinks, oh, well, yeah, I'll just, you know, hit her with the bomb and she'll blow up and it'll be over. And it's like, nah, bruh, I don't believe that. Even if he were to detonate that bomb, I think she would survive it. And I think it would only help her further take over the planet. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, we don't know what her full power set is. We don't know what her invulnerabilities or whatever are. You know what I'm saying? So we might be thinking, oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? We'll blow her up. And she'll be like, psh, that ain't gonna work on me. You know what I'm saying? So we don't really, really know. So in that case, that's why I'm like, yo, anti-Coulson, this just ain't gonna work. It would be nice if it worked, but I don't think it's gonna work. I am glad that the crew is still on Mac's side. They ain't let some new buster come through and just cause he know a couple things, they're gonna be all on his side. So you know what I'm saying? I'm feeling that. I'm feeling the fact that Deke came through, you know what I'm saying, on the knowledgeable tip, got this engineer on, and also got some snowflake love, you know what I'm saying? It was like, oh, snap. You know what I'm saying? It was like, shoot, we talk about the end of the world. Let me go on and, all right, she crazy. So since she crazy, you already know. I'm just saying, Deke, he couldn't resist, man. He couldn't resist. You know, the crazier, I'll just leave it right there. This is a family show. But I'm just saying, you know she crazy, so you know. You know what I'm saying? You know and I know. But I do enjoy the way they set this up for the two-parter. This is maybe like the second episode this season that I've been excited to see what they have coming next. So I'm good on this one. I'm definitely good. I'm glad that they kind of had a two-parter for us, and we'll see how they turn, you know, how they twist this episode, how they turn this season, and see what we get into, how we get in and out of some trouble. Yeah, I'm ready. So we've got a bit to go through with, you know, Seg, with your boy Lobo, with Adam, with Lyta. You know, we got a lot to go through. All right, well, we ain't dealing with Lobo for right now. You know what I'm saying? He's essentially taken care of to a certain degree. I feel that we'll see him again, but for now, I think he's on ice, or as on ice as he can be. Seeing his regenerative form, regenerates, all right? Seeing that in action was fun. They did it in a funny way that kind of made sense for the character, so I really enjoyed that. seeing him like basically like throw his arm through there, you know, shoot, you know, blow his head off and all that stuff, you know, it was fun to see how he planned to get inside there. My wonder is how long it's going to take for Brainiac to return, because we know Brainiac ain't gone. You know what I'm saying? Let's all be real. We all know Brainiac ain't going nowhere. All right. So since we know Brainiac ain't going nowhere, you know, figuring out or finding out when he'll resurface is the real issue, which could be a large problem for, well, you know what, it Brainiac returning could actually help Seg when it comes to Zod, because you know, enemy of my enemy, you know, or any even something that could distract him and get him off your back. Because of course, right now we know that Zod has no plans, and I mean no plans on Zod has no plans on any type of, how should we say, like, peaceful resolution. Well, no, I mean, I guess it's peaceful. It's like lay down or get laid down, you know what I'm saying? So I guess it's peaceful in that regard, but, you know, it's like either serve me or die kind of thing. And the weird place that we're put in with Brainiac is we know he's going to be one of these threats that kind of always last in some way, shape, or form. So what's going to happen now that he's in that kind of like that husk on the table or in that chair with Lobo? Will he come out through Lobo? Who knows? And just wondering about that threat. You know, that threat could be pretty serious depending on when or where he resurfaces. Also, you know, we got Doomsday somewhere. I can't remember where, but somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Doomsday is, a factor, sort of. You know what I'm saying? So that's always a looming, you know, wild card kind of thing. Even though I think that Zod truly thinks that he can control him, but, you know, that's whatever. But I want to know, what are you thinking about this whole Codex bomb? You know what I'm saying? You know, do you think that, I mean, of course, you know, old girl got sold out, and, you know, well, she sort of got sold out. Like, her friend that she was with didn't know she was getting, you know, scooped for the info. I mean, she should have known, but she didn't know. My biggest, you know, like, my biggest issue with this is if they knew that she was going to use the bomb and didn't want her to use the bomb, why not confront her before she goes out to use it? Because even though you not want her to use the bomb, if you let her go out thinking she's going to use the bomb and can't, you're essentially setting her or her team up to get killed, man. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, Val, like, what? Yo, what's good, my dude? Like, Val is, I don't know, man. He had to know that if you remove the bomb, not saying that it's good to or not to use it, but once you have someone in the field that thinks they have a weapon that's gonna work, and then the weapon doesn't work, then you place them in considerable danger. Oh, man, so I thought that was a dumb move. I mean, it's something that's done on TV, you know, frequently. So, I mean, it's, you know, somebody like, I knew you were going to use this weapon and you should be ashamed of yourself kind of thing. You know, like, it's been done before many times. And, like, we kind of knew it was going to happen. But I would like to see writers in general buck the trend instead of, you know, having him come to her earlier and maybe having, like, a you know, more serious conversation about wartime practices. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is fair, you know, on the battlefield? Like, you know, we do not commit genocide. Well, that's what they doing. So how are we going to win if we ain't using the same tools or coming with the same intensity? You know what I'm saying? It's like, so... I don't know, man. I think a better conversation could have been had around a scene where she was approached by Val and by old girl, baby mama, approached by both of them, and then have a discussion. And I mean, the scene didn't have to be extremely long, but they could have taken out the time they used on them being like, oh, the bomb doesn't work. And then him saying like, I knew you had the bomb. You should be ashamed of yourself. Instead, turn that to a scene where they discuss like, what's right and wrong in our morals on our planet for war for our people, you know, and against Zod. You know, what is right and wrong? You know, how far should we go? And if we're not willing to go this far, are we doomed to fail? Like, you know, there's a conversation to be had in that. There's a split in the faction to be had in that. You know what I'm saying? And to make it, you could make it more interesting by having, you know, her being like, well, you know what? You fight your way, I'm gonna fight my way. And then them part ways and then see a faction break off. You know, because just the way they did, I was just like, oh, here it goes. I know. And then, of course, showing baby mama walk away with the Kodak. So I was just like, well, whatever. Like, I was just like, you know, this is kind of like your basic setup. And it's done a little too much, in my opinion. But slide that to the side. We also have, man, the reconnection of SAG with Lyta, you'd think that there would be more questions. They almost went straight to the bed. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I can understand, you know, you've been missing this woman, you love this woman, and you've been gone in the, you know, Phantom Zone so long, blah, blah, blah. And you finally back, you know, you want to, you know, your woman's touch. I can feel that, you know what I'm saying? I can understand where you're coming from. But you might want to ask some questions. Like, dude, first thing out of my mouth should have been like, where's Zod? You know what I'm saying? You can't just be frolicking all around all in the bed. Like, this crazy mob ain't up in here. You know what I'm saying? Like, use your dome piece, all right? Like, you know, hey, use your dome. And trying to ascertain, if you will, you know, where Zod was, where his troops were, what he would or would not do when he saw me, would be a good course of action, a nice line of questions when you first, you know, get back into the capital or the citadel or whatever, up at Kandor. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a good idea. I mean, hey, look, let's be for real now. Let's just be for real. I don't know, man. I feel like it's a bad look. It's a very bad look. It's a bad look trying to act like all you know, all that's important is this relationship, where you know that this dude essentially wants you dead. I mean, he kind of locked you in the Phantom Zone on purpose. It's not like, oops, I accidentally did that. No, he did that on purpose. And then also Zod walking around with all this anger and hurt and pent up whatever from stuff that people did in the past for him, but for the people that he's dealing with, they're like, nigga, I don't know you like that. Like, yo, bruh, like, don't get me started. Like, seriously, do not get me started with Zod. The actor I love, the role I love, the character I love, but I hate him. Oh, he get on my nerves. Zod is whack. Zod just super whack. Anyway, yeah, man, you take that, you add it with, you know, any number of issues that Seg has to deal with, and, you know, he want to frolic up in the bed. But at least he did kind of get back to, I guess, you know, kind of get back, you know, into his focus when he dealt with old girl at the mind reconditioning joint. You know, going back through the files, seeing what happened, you know, seeing what he went through, seeing what, you know, they put other people through, what Lyta through, all that. So now at least he knows, like, yo, I've been messed up, and, you know, other people have been messed up. Like, I don't know what I've lost because of him. And, you know, knowing that dude is still a threat, you know, dude is still a major, major threat. And I don't, trust, like, I don't trust the word he says. Like, not at all. I really don't. I don't trust the word. Not even a little bit. A piece of a word that he says. but I guess we're left with whatever happens this week, guys. And next time we stop up in Crypt Time, we shall see. Alright, back it up. Going back it up. Alright. Good drive.